Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steven Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about your financial goals come first, and then plan backwards from there so that you actually make sure that they happen.
I think we're going to be a little bit different here.
I do too.
It's kind of funny.
That's why I wrote it.
I love it.
Before Jill and I get into it, almost literally, let's take a question posted by one of the members on the Land Investors online community. It's free.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if we like totally got into it?
Remember that one time we were in the car listening to another couple's podcast?
Oh, yeah, they did get into it.
And they got in a huge argument, and then that whole show ended. Not the episode, but the whole show.
Yeah. They were like not having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
We were laughing.
That was comical.
We were crying laughing.
Yeah, you could just tell.
Because we've been in that spot.
Like, they're trying to cover up. I'm like, oh, there's no love there right now. She's pissed off.
You know what I remember about that? What she was mad about is there was no schedule. She's like, oh, you just decided that we're going to do the podcast right now at 6 p.m. instead of have dinner.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy about that either. Like, we do it at the same time. That's kind of along the lines of what we're talking about this week.
Mm-hmm.
We do the show at the exact same time, all the shows, every Thursday morning.
That was so darn funny. Okay. Stuart asks, I'm working to configure my site to accept credit card payments with Heartland. Yay. And I'm wondering what business process to establish around this. I've looked at a number of other sites and it appears that different investors use different processes. In many cases, I'm not certain exactly what they are doing. So let me just give a little background. So Stuart is a member, I'm assuming. He's looking at some of our other member websites and he's setting up to accept credit cards, and things are like, do you have a refund process?
Yeah.
And how you want to do, how the deeds are going to be done, how your whole, because they're going to click and pay, and then how you're going to follow through and what your company protocol is going to be and all that good stuff. So Stuart goes on to say, should I, one, capture the full payment and then send a purchase agreement, two, authorize payment, send agreement, and capture when signed, three, capture down payment, send purchase agreement, and then invoice or process for the remaining balance, four, build the agreement into the payment process, i.e. by clicking buy now, you're agreeing to XYZ.
Can I answer?
No.
There's a lot more to the question, but it gets hard. This is complicated.
Okay.
One and four are correct. Capture the full payment and then send the purchase agreement.
If they want it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even have a purchase agreement. Just capture the payment and send the deed is what I mean.
That's what I mean, too. And then
number four, build the agreement into the payment process? No, you build the deed into the payment process.
But I would do both. By clicking now, you're agreeing that you're paying to the full thing, and the steps will be a deed will be mailed to you within 24, 48 hours, whatever you decide, along with recording instructions and however you want to do it. That's
exactly
what I would do. That's the easiest thing. Never just give them an opportunity to pay a little bit now and a little bit later, because all you're doing is making a mess for yourself, or you're chasing them now for the rest of the money.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, now they're tying up the property.
Yep.
When a real legitimate person wants to check out and play.
Oh my gosh, I agree.
And as you do number one or number four, however you're doing this, which is really just check out and pay, you want to have it set up so it immediately marks your property sold on your website.
That's right.
And that's how they know by looking, when they're reading the thing, if it says it's available, it is available. It's a first come, first serve kind of thing.
Look at our site, landstay.com.
Yeah.
Even buy a cheap property there and look at the whole process.
Yep.
Or look at, there's a couple other sites that very successful members do this every day. People buy property every day. Landio, LANDIO.com. And ruralvacantland.com. Between the three of us, you should find your zen.
And then Stuart goes on to say, my goal is to remove friction for the buyer, but also to force potential buyers to put skin in the game to secure the property. I've had several buyers agree to purchase and back out before paying. In the meantime, I lost other potential buyers waiting on the first guy to pay an invoice. I know that's part of the business, but I'd like to set this up to reduce that inefficiency. I'm going to pause here and say, this is the whole reason that we do credit cards online, and I just said what I said. And so when I'm talking to these people, we're all like, oh, I'm going to buy it. Even if they said I'm going to buy it, well, that's great. No. When you are ready, go check out. If you see it available, you know it's still there. If it's already gone, it's gone. You know, this is a first come, first serve kind of thing. That's just how it is.
This brings up this whole notion of the 21st century. So everything that you're describing is really how it was done in 1979.
True.
So just adding credit card payments without adding all the other stuff that I'm about to tell you is really only a small percentage of it. Jill's 100% right. You have to there's no talking about it properly. If you're posting it and you do a video on it, that's everything you know about it. There's no reason to talk to a buyer at all. If they're interested in the property, they need to go to your website, look at all the stuff that's there, and click on it and get a deed from you. The same way that you buy, exact same way that you buy something on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You don't
call them
call
and
the seller,
say, "Is there? Do you really still have only two left?"
I just want to put half down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Can you convince me? Because that's really what they're saying.
Right.
Can you convince me?
I don't want to convince them.
No, you don't want that buyer.
They want to be sure about it. And I want to add one more thing too. This is what I do with our, but a lot of people will find you on other sites because that's what we do, correct, right? We have our properties on LandWatch. You have your property on LandPin. You have your property, maybe you have it on Craigslist and everything too. The goal is, and this is what I tell everyone, you know, you would drive them to your website. That's the only place, by the way, that they can click and pay is on your direct website where you are putting that process. So it's very easy for you to say, hey, look, I know where you saw it. Got to go here. And if you see it available here, have it. It's there.
Yep.
Done. So easy. And the last part to the question is, as I get into details, I realize that a lot isn't clear. And there are variables, of course, based on the size of the sale, whether or not it'll go through title, and whether or not terms are being offered.
That's right.
How are others handling the processes around credit card or online payments?
Okay, so I can tell you, in Landio's case, he puts the whole purchase price up and processes credit card payments for $50,000, $80,000 all the time. As a credit card processor, you can see everything. So you can see if somebody tried to check out and they couldn't for whatever reason, or it was their card was expired or hit the limit or all of that. So, and you can respond to that however you may see fit. If the person got that far, then they try to check out, but it didn't happen, they're pretty darn interested. So you have to decide how you're going to handle that yourself. But I'll tell you, taking partial payments, not a good idea. And for terms, you can collect the down payment and get them set up on auto pay, and that's it. So I would not accept a partial payment at all.
The only thing I would add is if you're doing in terms or you want to do something like that is make it a non-refundable deposit.
Yeah.
And then you're covered no matter what. Because if it's a serious, say you're going to sell a $50,000 property on terms where it's $5,000 down, $500 a month.
Perfect.
For X amount of time. That's not crazy. So, and I would also have a cash option too, by the way. If you're doing it, you know, make it a good cash price too. So what I would do is, and you just have to be very, very crystal clear, put it in like three different spots, you know, as you see it when they click here, see it in the terms and conditions and whatever else, you know, that this $5,000 is a non-refundable deposit because I'm pulling off the market or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, you want to make sure that that's a subscription too, so that the payments are now on auto pay.
Right.
And that the buyer really understands that because...
Good point.
Invariably, you're going to get people who say, I get paid on the 3rd and I really need to have it done on the 10th because my mortgage hits and this hits and that hits, and you just don't want to play those games.
Right.
There's too many deals to do to handle all that.
You know, it's so funny. And here's the thing, too. You'll realize this, too, as you go on. I think it was Stuart, I'm guessing. Yeah,
yes.
Stuart. Is that, every time it seems like you bend over backwards, and our members, we've all said this together on our Thursday calls, is, gosh, I just did this deal for this guy and made it happen for him, and it was such a big pain. And then the next day, a guy calls who was going to pay me the full price,
yeah,
cash. Darn, I goofed. So, yeah. So I'd be hesitant. spending too much time on some of these people. Just wait for the right guy.
Yeah. Good advice.
Thank you.
It's like, well, I'm not going to bring it up. Sometimes.
What do you mean sometimes?
So I was going to make a marriage analogy, but it's probably not a good idea.
That's
today's topic, your financial goals.
If you have to rethink it for a minute, that is definitely not a good idea.
Yeah, if I stop myself from saying stuff.
Then it was probably really bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Today's topic, financial goals first, then plan backwards. This is the meat of the show. Let me be really, really simple about this. If you want to make $1 million a year, you generally need to make about $80,000 a month, which is about $200,000 a week, which sounds daunting, but it's really not.
Wait, $20,000 a week.
Yeah, $20,000 a week. Now it doesn't sound that bad. Mm-hmm. And then on and on and on. So let's say that's your goal. And so to make $20,000 a week, you can do that with one house deal easier, one 40-acre property in a good area easy every week. Well, how many mailers do I have to send out in general to get a superstar 40-acre property that I can make $20,000 on?
Bingo.
Let's say it's 3,000. Now you have to send out 12,000 mailers a month, or let's say 3,000 mailers a week to get that perfect property.
Ding, ding.
It all starts with that $1 million number in the beginning. Let's say you want to make $10 million. It's the same thing. Let's say you want to do a lot less deals because you're experienced now, but you want to make a lot more money. Then you need to only send out mail for property that's going to make you $100,000 or $500,000. Let's say you want to do one deal a year and subdivide it and just sell off the rest of it, spend the whole year selling it. You need to have sales goals and marketing goals, and all of it, with how much money you want to make at the beginning. And then work your way backwards and implement all the stuff that we've been talking about all week. Break it all down into tasks and into calendars and budgets. And, anytime I start something new, I stare at a blank Excel file that's sitting there opening and blinking at me, taunting me. And I just adjust it and readjust it and scrub it down until I get to the number that I want. And then I show it to Jill and she says, that's the most unrealistic thing I've ever seen in my life. She didn't even hear me.
I did. I did. You know what I was thinking about? I was just going to give another comparison. This is something that we talked about with our kids. What job do you want? What career do you want? What lifestyle do you want even? I mean, even you could even think about that. Think of the lifestyle that you want. All right, well, you're not going to make that doing, waiting tables, or you're not going to do that doing this.
Or you're not going to do that without a master's degree.
Right. So you have to think about the career then, and what makes you want something too that you're going to enjoy. We all think that we're going to, well, if I'm paid well, I'm going to enjoy it. We've all proven that wrong.
Boy, that's awful.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But we all thought that, I think. Well, if I get paid that much, I can do it. And how many people
have... You just described my whole accounting career.
I know. That's what I'm... I was not going to throw you under the bus. You did it yourself.
Fine. So, it's fine.
But
show me somebody that's happy with their career.
Dude.
That works for someone else.
Hold on a moment. What I am shocked and amazed at is how many of our community people are those exact people. They are constantly saying, money's not the issue here. I just can't stand it. I get paid great. I'm smart. I did what I needed to do. I have my PhD, whatever it is. They're like, I just can't do it. I'm just done with it. And most of the time they will say, I will make less money to not have to do this, to be my own boss, to do this, flip property. This is so much more fun. I love it like we do. And that's what they're looking for. So, but anyway, my point was, so we talked to the kids about that. So think about what you want to be. Okay, now let's find someone in that position and then talk to them and work it backwards.
Right, Joe.
How did they get there? Stop wasting time, which is, again, why we are here, by the way. I wasn't bringing this is kind of working out this way. I wasn't thinking ahead like this. But how many people that are in our community, that's it, because we are their mentors. They see us. They know what can happen here. They want to work it backwards. They want to be like us today. They want to be, and do the number of properties that you've done, Stephen.
Right.
And so they're here in our community to cut to the chase, not waste time, learn from you the right way, not spend 5 years catching up,
yep,
you know, and get there faster. And so anyway, so the kids, find your mentor, figure out the right way, and the right person like us will tell you, all right, don't do this, that's a waste of time, here's what I did, yeah. I wish I wouldn't have gone to that school, yeah. I wish I would have gone to this school, I wish I hadn't got that extra certification over here, I found out I didn't need it.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, like what? I think I was doing
it. Yeah, just, list the stuff that you would just totally change if you could go back and change it
in your career
before land.
Well, I didn't go like I don't have a good example for me.
Oh, I got 90.
So, well, okay. Well, not, I'm thinking education-wise and mentor-wise and stuff. I just jumped into a career thinking that was, you know, it was going to lead to something, and yeah, it didn't. So that was my whole thing. I got hung up there, and I didn't need to be hung up working for a big company.
Let's just stick to land then.
Yeah.
Since we've been doing this together, is there anything you would have changed?
No, because I found the best mentor on the planet, Stephen. That was you.
That's really nice of you.
So, no, I'm serious.
You know what ought to change? The size of the deals would have gotten bigger faster. Like, I was implementing right before the real estate crash.
That's good.
We were implementing a 40-acre only, purchase for $4,000 to $5,000 and sell it for $15,000. And it was going great.
I mean,
we were killing it. And so, for a lot of reasons, that was all market-driven. We had to stop. But when we got back into it, you and I, together, we kind of loosened our acquisition criteria and probably did a ton of deals that didn't make a whole lot of money, but we spent a whole lot of time, and I would have changed that. But I don't think you can start out of the gate like that. So if you're brand new listening to this, don't do that. Don't start something like that right in the beginning, but you certainly could do it after a few months.
Yeah, get your feet wet.
Yeah.
And then jump up.
The whole point is to make some mistakes on some small deals that don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then hone your skill.
And, you know, can we talk real quick about this? What do you think, Stephen, are realistic financial goals?
For the first year?
Here's why I'm going to say this. Because you and I have different opinions on this. As far as I'm concerned, I'm in my dream house. There's nothing I would be doing differently right now.
Yeah, me too.
Everything. I wouldn't be traveling anymore. I wouldn't be changing it at all. But I know that you have some bigger, loftier goals. And I think, because you know why? Because I'm thinking to compliment you and to throw myself under the bus a little bit.
What?
Well, I'm thinking more day to day. I know the kids are good. Everybody's fed, happy. You know what? I look into the future, but I don't look as far into the future as you do.
Yeah, okay.
So you are the pro. You are thinking of us, you are looking at us, our lifetime financial goals.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at us as to growing and building and growing and building year by year. So kudos to you. And that's why I have you and I love you.
Wow.
You look that far.
What a great episode. That's very nice.
There you go.
Yeah, I look at my financial goals are, we're done. Let's just be honest about it. However, there's two parts to that. One is monthly revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And expenses, which we all have a huge handle on, which the revenue goes up and expenses either stay the same or go down,
mm-hmm,
every single month.
Mm-hmm.
We have six lines of revenue, revenue streams, mm-hmm, five or six major ones. Some are from websites and some are, a lot of it's from property sales. And then there's that balance sheet number where it's just how much money you have,
mm-hmm,
with all your assets. So we are... The monthly piece is completely done, and which really is the contributor to the balance sheet piece, which is that number.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the number, it needs to be a little bit bigger, but could we all make it work? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, the thing is? It's fun doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's when it stops being fun. I mean, I love doing the types of real estate deals that we're doing now are the best. I've done huge commercial deals, mm-hmm, and they suck.
Right.
There are a lot of people have to sign off on it. There's tons of financing. There's always some kid that just got out of college
that thinks he knows
more than everybody.
Right.
I used to be that kid. But anyway, so the stuff that we're doing now, we're buying properties for cash for less than $250,000 and selling them for $500,000 after we do some stuff to it, which is, you know, basically land driven stuff, not vertical. Uh-huh. That's what's better than that?
Exactly.
We have no one to report to except each other.
Can I ask one? Can I end on one thing with a question? What would you tell someone new, someone 20 something, 20 to 30 year old man? You know, give him your worldly advice on this topic, picking about his financial goals.
Well, number one, it's not so much, let's say you figured it all out and you understand that you got to work backwards. I think that's our most of the people who listen to the show have figured, they listen to it because if they figured that piece out.
Would you tell them don't get greedy? That's what
you know what
I'm
I would
thinking.
Do? I would tell them to be very, very careful about getting married. It's all non-real estate stuff is what I would tell them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Be very careful about getting married. We joke about it all the time, but you really need the right person in your foxhole for this whole thing. Number two, be very careful about how and when, not how, but when you have children or if you have children. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that really can really slow everything down.
It's true.
And I think that $1 million a month is a great long-term goal. To put a machine in place. And then number two is I was very wrong about this my whole life. You're never going to walk away from a company that you own and just go live on a beach.
Right.
If you have what it takes and you have the ambition and the whole thing to get to you're making $1 million a month at whatever you're doing, or even if it's $1 million a year, anybody can live on that. You're not just going to say, hand the keys over to somebody after you've trained them. It's just not how it works. You have to grow. You have to be involved. And even if it's just daily looking at reports and calling in and talking to some people and maybe providing those people motivation. I was under the impression that for a lot of years that there's this magical, as soon as you hit a number, you just go to live on a beach.
Right. Or the back of a boat.
Yeah. And you know what? We live on a beach 2 blocks from a back of a boat. Mm-hmm. And we work every single day. And I would have it that way over being drunk on a beach somewhere all day long. Oh, she wants to end on that.
That was fantastic. There's nothing better than that.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 22 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for another interesting episode.
And we answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. We went over on that one too.
I know, but what a great
I got interviewed
moment. I mean, that was just really great, valuable stuff to share. Everybody will benefit from that.
Start with money first. Start with the revenue you want to make and then just figure out how to get there.
And when you work it backwards and you get it down to like a weekly number and you really sit and stare at it and you tell yourself, wow, well, I just did a deal that made $2,000.
Yep.
All I got to do is 10 of those in 1 week. There's $20,000 or maybe $4,000 or $5,000 deals in 1 week or something like that. It doesn't seem that crazy.
Or a deal a month.
Yeah.
Or a $100,000 deal a month. I mean, here in California, if you want to buy and sell houses, their average house where we live is like, what, $2 million?
Right.
Buying a property, even if off the MLS for $2 million and marking it up to 2.1, mm-hmm. where the days on market are like 18,
right?
You're going to sell the house.
You make $100,000 there, big flip and deal.
You're
no one's going to notice $100,000 in
the
transaction.
Not hard.
That you brought to them.
If you want to ensure that that's going to happen, send out mail.
Yep.
And make it easy on yourself because then they call you. You don't have to call them.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.